The Old Testament has been put away because the glory that now is excels far beyond what that glory was. And if this glory didn't have any value, then that glory would have remained. We find that in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 where he talks about that. He said, by reason of the glory that now excelleth. And so we know that the life and nature of God is in us, and we have the capacity to be godlike. And yet Christians don't understand that. We do have the capacity to be godlike because he's invested his life and nature within us. The problem is we have to develop it. It's not up to God. It's up to God to give us that life and nature, but it's up to us to develop it in us. And it's not developed in our spirit, it's developed in our soul. In our soul. And I like to look at it this way. Christianity does not, or should not think of a man in submitting to the power of God as much as it is of him as finally surrendering to the love of God. When a man surrenders to the love of God, he'll find the power of God. See, I don't know how many times I've walked the floor and prayed for the power of God. And finally, just meditating and studying the scriptures that reveal the heart of God to me, especially the book of 1 John, it dawned on me I need to learn how to surrender to the love of God so that the power of God can work in my life. Are you following me? That's why the gifts of the Spirit... When God revealed to me that the gifts of the Spirit should operate through maturity, a man who's matured in love, it brings a better testimony to the charisma of the kingdom of God, the charismatic part of God. And yet it's got a reproach today that even word churches don't want to move in the power of God. Well, the reason that they don't want to is because they don't understand the love of God. And just because you operate in the power of God doesn't mean that you're perfect in love. You can operate in the power of God and be an idiot. And for years we've encountered people that has moved in the power of God but hasn't shown the love of God. And that's why Paul was encouraged the Corinthian church, go on into maturity so that people do respect the power of God that is coming from you. See. Now this morning, as I got back from this men's conference, God began to lay a message on my heart. And I just want to share it to you. And men, I don't want you to come under condemnation. And women, I don't want you to come under any form of condemnation. But I want to share with you today the fruits of a good man. The fruits of a good man in the Lord. I'll tell you, this thing has started coming alive to me. I couldn't even hardly sleep. I was up at 4 o'clock in the morning going over this and just rolling on through me, and I just couldn't even write down as fast as God gave it to me. But let's look at the fruits of a good man. Ladies, you're going to be blessed today. Men, you're going to be blessed today. If you will turn over to Psalms 112. Psalms 112. You know, next year, some of you men in this body, you have to think about going with me. I didn't want to go to this men's thing. There were just so many other things I had to do. And it's funny, sometimes the thing you think is not of God is usually divinely appointed of God. This conference was phenomenal. It was fantastic. I was so overwhelmed by it that I thank God I didn't miss it. And I think some of you men ought to decide to partner with me to go next year and go together as men. One pastor took a bunch of men from his church. Now, they had a kind of an X-rated session, you know, about how men need to make love to their women. And this one pastor said, I got a tape for every man in my church. So the reason I said that is some of you men, you know, if you're kind of hesitating whether you should go or not, you ought to go. You'll be blessed. It was phenomenal. They actually taught men how to love their wives. And it was fantastic. Psalms 112, let's start with verse 1. Verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly. Now notice he said greatly in his commandments. You know what greatly means? A lot. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generations of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be an everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he sees his desires upon his enemies. He hath dispersed. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnaw with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. Now turn over to Psalms 37, and let's look at verse 23, and we're going to go back to Psalms 112. So turn back to Psalms 37. Psalms 37. And let's go to verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his ways. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, as I get into this message about identifying the fruits of a good man, I pray that your men and the ladies, the women here present, get a hold of the revelation of this that I'm going to share with them. The Bible says, by their fruits you shall know them. Father, we have a good deposit within our hearts. And Father, we want it to come out to its fullness. And so, Father, as I give identity to the branch and the fruit that it bears concerning a good man's life, may your people take heed and use it as a guide to judge their own life by, in Jesus' name. Now, basically, what this psalm, Psalms 112, has is about roughly 8 good points about what a good man is, the fruit of a good man. In Psalms 37, 23 and 24, notice what it says. It said, I turned off of that. It says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his ways. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. You know, that is good news for you men. That is good news for you men. Because number one, a good man knows how to follow God's leading in his life. He knows where he's going in difficult times. He's not just thrust into things circumstantially without knowing how to react to it. It says that he will do what God tells him to do. Because a man who's being led properly does what God tells him to do. Even though he might make mistakes, he will do what God tells him to do. He obeys the Lord. You know, I've heard it so many times, men tell me, yeah, I know what the Lord told me to do. I know what the Lord told me. I said it out of my own mouth. And you know what God spoke to me and said? When you don't do what I ask you to do, it's because you don't trust me. A man that will not do what God asks him to do is a man that doesn't trust in what God tells him to do. Point number two. I want you to notice, let's go to Psalms 112 again, if you're not over there. I want you to notice what it says here. Point number two about this man. A good man helps others. He helps other people. Notice verse 5. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Well, first of all, a good man helps others. He guides even his affairs with discretion. You know, when a man can lend, it's because he's operating in good discretion. I know in my life when I haven't operated in good discretion, it's robbed me of what I needed to even lend to him that had need. Because there was a lack in my life. Still is to a certain degree. You know, if you never get a vision for giving and investing into the kingdom of God, whether it's this church or any church that you've attended, if you've never had the vision to give in, it's because you never hope for or expect the kingdom of God to reap anything from you financially. Now, if I'm putting you under law, it's the law of the issue of the heart that I'm putting you under, not the law of sowing and reaping. You follow what I'm saying? It's a heart issue when it comes to money or the kingdom of God. But it says, this guy, this good man, helps others. He has the ability to help others. In Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 4, Cornelius was a just man, it said. Actually, the word just means a good man. And he had a memorial that was literally erected in the presence of God Himself in heaven. There was a memorial erected because of his prayer and his giving of alms. Isn't that good? He was a man of devout prayer. And God remembered him through that memorial and said, I want you to go and get a hold of Peter, and I want Peter to go down there and get that bunch filled with the Holy Ghost. And you know what Cornelius did? God approached Cornelius and said, I'm going to send somebody to you that has something for you. Cornelius was expecting what? He was a good man. He was expecting something from God that was good. See? Why? Because he himself was a good to the kingdom of God. And so you know what happened? He's coming, Cornelius. He's coming to your house. Cornelius says, it's in your Bible. He says, gather up all my friends, all my relatives. Gather them all up. I want them there when he comes. Some of you, I bet you have relatives that you couldn't get saved if you tried. I'll tell you what, maybe it's if you're a good man and you're doing something for the kingdom of God, you might find that you might have favor with your relatives or your friends. And so what happened? He gathered them all together. Peter came down, got them all filled with the Holy Ghost, and got some saved. Filled with the Holy Ghost. The whole bunch of them, the Bible says. Why? Cornelius was a good man. Proverbs 13:22. Let's go there. Proverbs 13:22. Are you guys getting something? Proverbs 13:22. Proverbs 13:22. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Do you know what it's saying here? A good man leaves plans for the future even when he's gone. A good man leaves plans for the future even when he's gone. You know, God began to speak to me about some issues concerning my household. I hadn't shared it with Sue yet. But God had me do some certain things. and plan for the future for them. And so I've set her up. She doesn't know it yet, but I got her set up. If something should happen to me, she's going to be taken care of. I ain't told anybody about it. Why? Because God began to move on me and says, a good man makes plans for the future. Not just to leave an inheritance, but a good man plans ahead of time for success. Are you following me? So that's number three. Number four. Well, I'll tell you what. Turn over to Acts chapter 11. I want to look at that verse just for a minute. I want to add something to this. Acts chapter 11. And let's go to verse 24. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. I want you to notice about a man who seeks the kingdom of God. Another thing that makes a good man so powerful is that a good man stays full of the Holy Ghost. It says, be ye filled daily. You don't find a good man complacent in the kingdom of God on a daily basis. He's not up one day and down the next. He's up every day for the kingdom of God. He's full of the Holy Ghost. And that's why many people are added into his life for the kingdom of God, because he's full of the Holy Ghost. I don't know how many times I was down and I had the opportunity to bring someone into the kingdom of God, but because I was lazy and complacent, I missed the greatest opportunity I know of. I've regretted it since then. But I made a decision with God. I ain't living the garbage can of my flesh no more. It's over. No more ups and downs. I'm on fire for God. I'm staying that way. I'm staying full of the Holy Ghost. And God, he's even paying me to do that. Hallelujah. Men who do not stay full of the Holy Ghost, these men need to check their heart what kind of man they are. You need to be a man of prayer. You need to be on fire daily for God. You don't need to pray one week and next week maybe think about not praying. You need to be a man of prayer. That's a good man. He stays full of the Holy Ghost. Matthew 12:35. Let's go there. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. You know, the word treasure is very interesting. It's a depository. The word treasure means a deposit. A deposit. A deposit. So point number four is, a good man deposits the Word of God deep in his heart. You find that in Psalms 112, verse 7 and verse 8. Let's look at it. Verse 7 and verse 8 of Psalms 112. Notice what it says there. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he sees his desires upon his enemies. His heart is fixed. It's established. Why? This guy is full of the Word of God. He's hid it deep in his heart. Psalms 119:11 says, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee or miss the mark with you, God. Now, I'm going to tell you this. It says, until he sees his desires upon his enemy. Listen, people, that's not talking about evil on his enemies. Well, you say, oh, that's what the Lord referred. Can hardly get excited over his enemies being tortured because he's such a good man. No, listen, he's coming from the viewpoint that this guy desires is to be at peace with his enemies. That's his desire. Psalm 16:7 says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. A good man wants to be at peace even with his enemies. Right. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee or miss the mark with you, God. You know, I get an attitude about Christians in America because they've got it so well off that they don't keep a guard over their heart. They don't want to check themselves to see whether they're missing the mark with God. When God dealt with me about my fellowship with Him, it was clear I was missing the mark with Him. You see. Point number five. This is verse 4. A good man will cut some people some slack. He's gracious and full of compassion. Boy, some Christians wouldn't cut anybody any slack if you put a sign on the people that he's going to bring to judgment or deal with. Even if they put a sign up, cut me some slack, they'd just look at that and says, run a Mack truck over me. That's how they'd interpret it. Because they don't know how to cut anybody any slack. Psalms 112, verse 4 says, a good man, he is gracious and full of compassion. He cuts people some slack. Point number 6. You guys getting something? A good man's morals are good because he lives godly. Verse 4, and he's righteous. He lives godly. He's righteous. He lives godly. Some parents, some men don't even care how they live God before their children. My daughter Lindsay got on my case about issues that I was slack on in my walk as a minister. I'll tell you, wisdom will come out of kids. Make some of us adults look pretty sick. But a good man's morals are good. He lives godly because verse 4 says, and righteous. Point number 7. A good man protects his family. A good man protects his family. Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Real quick, 1 Timothy chapter 2. You guys getting something here? 1 Timothy chapter 2. Let's go to verse 13. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived. Notice, Adam wasn't deceived. But the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Now, I want you to take a note here. Adam was not deceived. Adam was not deceived. So, let's take a look at, was Adam a good man? Thank you for asking me that question there. Thank you for that lovely amen. Let's go check him out. Turn over to Genesis chapter 2. Let's look at Adam and see what kind of family he was running. Let's take a look at the Adams family. See what kind of man Adam was. Praise God. You know, in the earlier stages of my Christianity, and my wife is going to testify to this, for about three and a half years was it, so I was out of church. I expected my woman to go to church. I expected her to do all the praying. I expected her to make sure the kids were in church while I stayed at home and did my own thing. Some men are that way. They'll shove the kids and the wife off to church, or the wife if they don't have kids. They'll shove them off to church, stay at home, expect her to be the spiritual one of the household. No, he expects himself to be the spiritual one of the household, but sends her off to the spiritual house. I did it. Remember that, sir? She was faithful to church. I was off to karate, doing my own thing. I look back on it now, it's the most pathetic part of my life. I don't know how I ever got caught up in that. Well, I wasn't educated enough. But was Adam a good man? Look at verse 7 of Genesis chapter 2. And the Lord God formed the man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of lives, and man became a living soul. Now, let's go to verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it, that means to work it, and to keep it. Now, the word keep means to guard or protect. To guard or protect. Isn't that right? I mean, that's what I understand that word to mean. So, we know that God formed man of the dust of the ground, put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it, to work it, and to guard it, keep watch over it. And then God saw that as Adam was doing his normal routine that the Lord asked him, it all of a sudden dawned on Adam, as he was given names to God's creation, animal creation, there wasn't a helpmate from him. Male, female. Male, female. And there was no helpmate for him. So right away, as that rose up in Adam's heart, God said, that's what I was waiting for. And God did his first surgery and built him a woman. And gave him a soul connection. Because that's what women were developed for the souls of men, to be a helpmate. Now, you know the story. In chapter 3, the devil comes along, and he begins to knock God to the woman. As God said. That's how the devil works. That's how church splits are started. Hath God really told the pastor to do that? Hath God really said? Always questioning God, think they're questioning man. So, I want you to read this. And the woman said, verse 2, unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God knoweth that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat. And notice this, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. That dude was there all along. Right there with her. Listening to this conversation go on. Hath God said, and he's sitting there, and he's listening to this, and he's not rising up and getting hot about this thing. He's the one called to keep it. You know, my daughter came to me and questioned me doctrine that someone else had tried to feed her. I got riled. I went to sin. I said, I think I ought to do something about this. Some parents, they don't even care what their church teaches their kid. They don't even care what the school has to say about spiritual issues. It's like the parents are just null and void of what's being said and spoken to. And we, as the spiritual heads of our home, we need to rise up and protect what the devil's saying to our kid. Protect what the devil's saying to our wife. Protect the protect our family from what the devil is trying to indoctrinate into our family. Are you following what I'm saying? We need to guard and protect our family. We need to guard around us from the voice of the enemy when he comes in. Now we read over, and Timothy wasn't deceived. The dude was not deceived. He's sitting there and listening to this thing. What would you guys do if the devil walked up as an angel of light and start talking to your wife and says that speaking in tongues is out of the pit of hell? Well, he's not going to come with a pitchfork and all red and a pointed tail or Your wife would go, whoop, you're the devil. No, God appears an angel of light. And you're sitting there listening to this so-called angel of light, and you're sitting there and you're going, what's this all about? I think I'll reach over and just see what this sheep is made of. Bloop, there's a wolf under it. Talking to your family. Believe this. Don't believe that. You know what I do? Get the heck out of here. I'd say get the Hades out of here. That's right. I'd put that guy right where he belongs, outside the perimeter of my domain. Are you guys getting something here? Some men don't even care what their family's being taught. No, you have to protect. A good man will protect his family. He'll watch over him. You'll find that in the verses in 112, Psalms 112. Now, the eighth point, a good man respects delegated authority. A good man respects delegated authority. How do I know? God got on my case about my attitude towards Rhema, who I'm serving. God got on my case. I had to make some decisions. And God got on my case. I want you to look at verse 9 in Psalms 112. Look at verse 9. When I saw this, I was a little shocked. I didn't understand it at first. Me being a hunter, I should have. Verse 9, notice it says, his horn should be exalted. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. And his horn shall be exalted, notice this, with honor. With honor. What is that all about? You know, Bob and I, we know what it means to go hunting, you know, and we always talk about the rack we see on either deer or elk. We always judge the animal by the rack, don't we, Bob? I mean, whew, that was a 7x7. 4x4. Not looking for any more. You know, that's just how, you know, us hunters are, you know. And a lot of times you can't see the animal, but if you look into the woods enough, you can see some movement going. You see this little rack going on up here, just moving in amongst the thickets. You can't see them. And so, so you zero in, you wait until that rack comes out in the open. Then you got the body. Well, I was meditating. What does it mean his horn shall be exalted? And you know how animals are raised? They're raised by family. And as they grow up, the males get these horns sprouting out, you know. And some can be very big racks. And the thing that you understand about animals with huge racks, it means they're smarter than the rest. They don't get killed as quick.
Well, he's a big old buck. Yeah, he had a rack like this. Why? He's been around a few deer seasons.
Well, I got to thinking about his horn shall be exalted. And that's when the Lord told me that in the rack of an animal is where you find his strength. Therefore, his authority, strength, is respected by others. Why? He's not looked down upon as a leader because he's just like David. Even David. Even David himself, who was considered a great man in the eyes of God. David, what made him such a great and good man, is he respected God's call on Saul, even though Saul went wacko. Now, David, he respected God's decision over Saul, not Saul. Are you following me? He respected God's decision over Saul, and he didn't want to bring a reproach to God's decision over that man's life. And that's what David got anointed. He ended up with the horn being exalted in honor because he could respect delegated authority. He could respect it. Even though he didn't respect the ones in the authority, he respected God that was behind the decision to do the authority thing. Are you following me? Only God can keep things right. Men is what messes it up. Are you following me? And this is what made David so great. He said, until God removes Saul, I'll respect that call that was put on that man's life. John Cook, he told me, he was raised in a family that had Pastor Fillet every Sunday afternoon. Sat and had filleted pastor. What'd it taste like? Yuck. Sat there in the family, never solid in a church. Didn't know what it meant to be solid in a church. Because they didn't respect the decisions that God puts on men's lives. Men followed up, not God. You see, you stick to the decision and you're honoring God. You don't have to stick with it necessarily with submitting to the man as much as the call that's on the man's life. Respect for it. And then if he wants you to do wrong, don't do it. Are you following me? That's why the spirit of Korah is so deadly. It creates death because you're speaking against God's decisions on leadership. But God knows their end. God knows their end. When he gives them a decision to lead and they pervert it, God knows their end. It says they will speak against the good man. They'll speak against the good man. The wicked will. And he knows their end. They'll perish. They'll come to naught. I've seen it time and time again. I began to realize in my life, if I don't get my tongue right with whom I'm to represent, then I know my end too. I'll be over. I'll be finished. I had to make a switch in my heart. That was one of the decisions I made being in that men's conference, the best men's conference I ever been at. I'll tell you what, I got so convicted in my heart, and I made the switch. I'm going to respect this man and love him unconditionally and stand by him because he's doing right. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm going to watch my mouth. I'm going to put a guard on my mouth. I'm just being honest with you. You know, it's very interesting. How many of you know the centurion soldier, Matthew 8, verses 5 through 10? You know, faith works in the heart of a good man who respects another's authority. People say, how can I succeed in my ministry so my horn can be exalted? Respect another's authority and you'll get it. Sitting there going, then nobody pays attention to me. And God says, well, I'm the one that exalts your horn. If it ain't getting exalted, it's because you got to straighten up in your attitude of your heart. I got it straight right there. Some men let their wives be the boss. Women don't get in that position. Let the man lead.
Well, what if he ain't leading right?
Well, you don't have to do what's wrong. But you still can respect the man. Did you all get something here today? How many men here are going to be good men? I'll tell you, when God showed me Psalms 112, I said, that's it, I'm going to be a good man. I'm making the decision to be a good man.
Yeah, your pastor. It's only a couple days ago.
I was asking God for a word. I said, God, I need direction. And Psalms 112 there, it says, a light in the darkness. You know what that means? It means this guy is not confused where he's going. Why? Because he walks in the light as he is in the light. Darkness won't overcome him. He says, the reason you don't know where you're going is you're walking in too much darkness. Turn the light on. Yep. I said, okay, I'm turning the light on. Chink. Uh-oh, I see me. And he could speak to me this time and give me absolute perfect direction. I mean specific direction when I made it right in my heart. You know, a lot of people say, I just don't know why the Lord ain't leading me. The Lord can't penetrate you to lead you. Stand up, everybody. Now, I want the men to confess this.
Father!
Father!
Wow.
Father!
Father!
I am a good man.
In spite of myself.
I am a good man.
I will meet all those requirements.
I must meet them requirements.
Because I'm called of you.
I will meet the requirements. I think it started going downhill there a little bit. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
I will meet
those requirements
in Jesus' name.
Amen and amen.
Hey, doesn't it feel good to be a good man? I'm a good man, Sue. Yeah.
Somebody said, how can you be so prideful? It isn't a pride factor. It's a decision factor. I made a decision. I'm going to be a good man. How about you?
It's funny how that thinking gets all messed up easy like. You can say hi to somebody and goodbye to somebody else and your thinking's all messed up. Oh, well, I know you guys got something tonight. I have a good message tonight for you. Praise God. Good message for you tonight. Praise God. Father, as we bow our heads now and close this service, Father, I pray that if I've stepped on men's feet here today, I just want to thank you for giving me a message that will do that, Lord. Because, Father, when you step on our feet, we straighten up. We make sure our steps are ordered of you. Hallelujah. Even though we fall, we know that you pick us up again, Father, and we go forward, hallelujah, as men. Even though we miss the mark, I thank you, Father, that we are men of God that will hide the word in our heart that we might not sin against you. Oh, Father, this is so great of a salvation. Bring all of us men to a place of honor as the men of our home and the authority of our home so that when our wives are tempted of the adversary, we're their protector. We keep them and guard and watch over them so that they respect us as men in the body of Christ. And Father, I just pray that every one of your men here today will reach back in such a way in their life as to make complete change to be a good man. May this psalm be their psalm, and may they quote it every morning to bring back into remembrance how important it is to bear the fruit of a good man so that we glorify our Master and Savior, Jesus. Hallelujah.